because genocide against native people is still going on today, all over the world.
Native Solidarity News. It's about you, too. CKUT, CKDU, CFBEX, CFUV, CHFN, CHLY, CHMA, CHSR, CJLY, CJSF, CJSW, Radio 90.
Based on land. Land is the basis of all independence.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Native Solidarity News, and my name is Erkar. I'm here with Dan, and we're just going to be bringing you the features and the news. So, Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Erkar.
How was your Christmas?
I don't celebrate Christmas, but I had a good weekend.
Well, I didn't celebrate Christmas either.
Righto.
But I went and I had turkey dinner with friends. And you know what they did? It's like, because they're the kind of people, they hate leftovers. What they did was they took the rest of the turkey after we'd finished it, put it in a Tupperware container and handed it to me. I now have a week's long of lunches. It's great. It's awesome.
That's good friends.
And I was actually here on Christmas night too.
Wow. That's full time.
Yeah.
So the feature for today is, the first half of a speech by Gilbert White Duck, the director of the Kyrgyz Zibi Education Council. He spoke a few weeks ago at the First People's House, one of the community centers at McGill University, speaking on the state of Aboriginal education in Canada. And I found it very, 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 very moving. One of the best speeches I've heard in quite a while. So that'll be coming up in the second half of the show. We're just going to play a little bit of music first, and then we'll come back with some Native Solidarity news. Back to Native Solidarity News. We were just listening to the CD, The Rough Guide to the Music of Balkan Gypsies. So get your paper and pencils ready, folks, because this is an urgent call for action. Once again, Native American prisoners are being discriminated against at the Crossroads Correctional Center in Shelby, Montana. Your help is needed right now so as to protect them from serious retaliation after some of them have filed official complaints that the violation for the violations of their religious rights, specifically regarding the Sweat Lodge ceremony, which has been canceled for the past 3 weeks. Native American inmates are denied access to personal religious items such as cedar, sage, and sweetgrass in their cells, although it has been approved and stated in prison policy. And this is a right that Aboriginal prisoners have had to fight for over the decades. Both the warden and the chaplain of the prison were served with the settlement agreement from the Human Rights Bureau, which states that any regularly scheduled sweat lodge ceremony that is canceled must be rescheduled within the week, as well as that the sweat lodge ceremony cannot be canceled in order for other religious activities to take place. Officers cannot throw eagle feathers on the floor, an action which recently happened to one inmate. This action resembles the much-publicized desecration of the Quran at Guantanamo Bay. Such discrimination is a disgrace. Your support is needed to put an end to the continuous violations of Native American prisoners' religious rights in Montana. Please call or write immediately the Director of Corrections and the Native American state legislators in Montana and ask why this is being allowed to happen. This has been a call out by the Justice Network, which can be reached at Justice Network, one word, at fastmail.fm. They're asking once again that we call the warden and the director of corrections and ask that Indigenous prisoners' rights be respected. The warden's name is James McDonald, and he can be reached at 406-434-7055. And the director of the Department of Corrections is Bill Slaughter. For real, his name is Bill Slaughter. And his number is 406-444-3911, or else you can email him at tward@state.mt.us. Thanks, folks, for taking the time to help make prisoners' life a little easier. Again, you can contact us at Native Solidarity News. We'll give that contact information at the end of the show if you need these phone numbers repeated. So the next piece of news comes from Survival International, the International Relations and Security Network, and from the BBC. It's a compiled news piece. A former state governor and a former top policeman are among the accused in Brazil's first ever investigation into the genocide of an uncontacted indigenous community. 29 people are being detained in Operación Rio Pardo. The investigation into the genocide of the uncontacted Rio Pardo Indians. In the last decade, the Indians' land has been invaded by land grabbers and logging companies. The government's Indian Affairs Department, FUNAI, has found camps inside the territory with land measuring equipment and bombs and ammunition to intimidate the Aboriginals. The invaders admit to finding 30 hurriedly abandoned shelters. FUNAI has warned that the tribe would be annihilated if measures were not taken to protect them. The former governor of Mato Grosso State and the former elite police commander are among the public figures implicated in the affair, along with land poachers, lawyers, and loggers. An article from Indian Country Today tells us about the Youth of the Peaks, a group of American Indians who were taken from their high school classrooms and questioned by Flagstaff, Arizona police after holding vigils calling for the protection of the sacred San Francisco Peaks. This action of the anti-gang unit of Flagstaff police came as area tribes awaited the decision of a federal judge in U.S. District Court in Prescott regarding a plan to use recycled wastewater for snowmaking on the peaks. The sacred mountain is revered by 14 area tribes who gather medicine plants and hold healing ceremonies there. Cocochino High School freshman Hanel Lomatewama was among those questioned by police. She said police asked the youths who their leader was. Flagstaff police, however, said their anti-gang unit was holding a routine meeting at the high school when they noticed flyers announcing the showing of Clee Benally's film, The Snowball Effect. Lieutenant Randy Weems admitted that police removed the flyers. They say that it was done for intelligence reasons because they were promoting anarchy. School administrators canceled a scheduled showing of the film. About 40 people, including Youth of the Peaks members, protested the film's cancellation outside of the high school. When police removed the flyers, Principal David Roth told the media that the flyers were promoting propaganda. However, Roth later confirmed that the students had received permission to show the film and place flyers in the halls. Roth said parents would be contacted with an apology. I wonder if the same would be done for the students. Before the police raid, group co-founder Kelly Nez, said that the Youth of the Peaks were formed to mobilize youth to take a stand for community, culture, and the environment. We are empowering and strengthening young people to become leaders of our future and for our present. For more information on their campaign to protect the San Francisco Peaks, visit the website www.savethepeaks.org. If you're in the Montreal area, there will be a screening of this film next month alongside films that are made by the Native Youth Movement in Skequequelt, a similar situation up here in Canada where, again, a ski resort is being used as a weapon against Indigenous sovereignty. And details of that will be forthcoming. And then the last piece of news before we take another musical break comes from Al Jazeera and the Interpress Service News Agency. The election of Aymara leader Evo Morales as president of Bolivia is being hailed by native leaders from throughout the region as a sign of hope for all impoverished and discriminated indigenous peoples in Latin America. Morales, who captured 51% of the voters in Bolivia's recent elections, according to preliminary results, will take office on January 22nd as the first indigenous president in the history of Bolivia, where 60% of the population of 8.6 million identify themselves with one of the country's indigenous groups. Over the past 15 years, powerful, organized indigenous movements in Latin America have succeeded in overthrowing governments in Bolivia and Ecuador and forced the issue of Aboriginal people's rights into the political agenda, as in the case of Mexico, and the primarily indigenous Zapatista National Liberation Army, the EZLN. Throughout the same period, a growing number of indigenous people have been elected to public office as mayors, members of Congress, and government ministers. In Bolivia itself, Aymara Indian Victor Hugo Cardenas served as vice president from 1993 to 1997. Evo Morales has declared that his election would be a nightmare for the United States. Morales is something of a pariah in Washington due to his defense of coca leaf growing. The crop, which is a key ingredient in producing cocaine, is the target of U.S. anti-drug efforts in the country. Bolivia is the world's third largest producer of cocaine. This presidential hopeful has vowed that, if elected, he would move to legalize coca. Bolivian Indians chew the shiny green leaf to prevent altitude sickness and brew it in herbal teas. He has also used his campaign to criticize U.S. policies on free trade, arguing that they have plunged South America's poorest country deeper into poverty. Despite his lead in polls, Morales is unlikely to secure the 50% of the vote needed for outright victory, and a new president is likely to be chosen by a new Congress, which could happen shortly. This is a news piece that was from last week, and I haven't heard of anything different, so I believe he has been officially elected president. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting news, I think.
Well, if we have any further information, what we'll do is we'll let our folks know here. It looks like the Aboriginals up here could take a little message from down there, and hopefully that can happen here. An Aboriginal prime minister.
That'd be rad.
That'd be awesome, man. That'd be totally cool.
I vote for Ward Churchill.
If he was alive, I would have said Chief Dan George.
Yeah.
Good man. Anyways, we're going to take that short musical break, and we'll be right back.